We are at the Challenge Youth Conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we welcome you to another episode of Ministry Matters That Matter. Today I have as a special guest my good friend David Shannon. David and I have been friends for a long time.
Long time.
We went to two camps together when we were in high school. We did the first Future Church Leaders Workshop, which is now Horizons, at Fried Hardeman together. And then also where we really got to know each other was at the Future Preachers Training Camp at the Pennington Bend Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. And so we've stayed in contact over the years, and the church at Graymere I was a preacher at for several years was connected to the Timothy Hill Children's Ranch, where you also worked at. Yeah. And then we've had connections in his work over at Mount Juliet, and now at Fried Hardeman. He was my boss for a year. I couldn't take it, so I left. And so, no, but we've been good friends. I tell everybody he's my favorite preacher. So I'm really excited for him. He's taking a few moments with us today as they're in session, and we've got a little time here. I wanted to let him share with us. So tell me how things are going. How's Tracy and the family, first of all?
We are doing well. We are blessed, and I appreciate the words that you said in the introduction, because it brings back so many good memories. Yeah. And the decades have been kind to us and our relationship.
Yeah,
and
us.
I just appreciate you so much. As a teenager, because of your skill and your abilities, I looked up to you, and I still do. I appreciate you so much. And well, we are blessed as a family. We have a grandbaby that will be coming to this earth very soon, Lord willing,
awesome.
And in mid-March, and we're excited about that.
So that's close.
It is.
That's awesome.
It is.
Well, I appreciate you taking time. I can vividly remember, I think you were 15 maybe the first time I heard you preach. I'm not sure exactly on that. But, you know, I remember that illustration, attack, attack, attack in that sermon. So talk to me about preaching. You know, you've preached many years at churches of all sizes. What are some tips just on preaching that you think those sharing God's word need to hear?
You know, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, the way you ask that, is not normally what would be the first thing to come to my mind. But when you say all size churches, I think about starting out preaching as a teenager. And I would be I was like a circuit preacher, where this particular church every first Sunday.
Yes.
Or this particular church every fourth Sunday. And, you know, those congregations when I was a teenager that I went to regularly, monthly, they ranged in size from about 18 to about 60.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that age, I had to make the decision, am I going to put in the same dedication
mm-hmm.
for that church that's 17 or 18 in size as that church that is 60?
Yeah.
And then through the years of ministry, when I was in Gadsden, Alabama, mm-hmm. When I first went to that congregation, it was a church of about 90 to 100. And then Mount Juliet, of course, was much larger. And I would just begin this conversation by saying, the opportunity to preach the Word of God to one soul is worth the investment of us doing the best that we have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's in the preparation time
mm-hmm.
or it's actually in the delivery time.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me to see guys that thinks, oh, this is a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to really invest as much in it. Because one, every soul matters. But also, we never know the ripple of the gospel. You know, who's sitting in that audience that, because they're going to grow spiritually,
mm-hmm.
who knows what they're going to do in the kingdom. And like I say, normally that's not where I begin that.
Yeah.
But since you asked it that way, I would just like to kind of give that encouragement
mm-hmm.
to the guys that might be in smaller settings, or even the guys that's in larger settings, but they go guest speak somewhere in a smaller setting. Let's give our all every yeah. time.
I tell them, students in my homiletics class, don't ever take a sermon or a Sunday off. In
yeah.
other words, give it all your best, whatever you do. So talk to me about, because I know, especially as Mount Juliet exploded, the requirements on your time increased. So were there some things that helped you to be able to still go deep and prepare for your lessons while you're having more and more tugs? Because I know you've always been very evangelistic, so you're doing Bible studies, but you've got folks needing to talk to you at the office. You're meeting with the elders, planning things for the future. You're making hospital visits. Of course, I know you had a multi-staff. How did you keep quality sermon prep in place with all of those demands?
You know, it has to be a priority. And on that, I think where most of us would have to begin is it has to begin with a priority on our calendar. And I like to say sometime to you know, our students that we work with is no one is going to come up to you and say, hey, I wanted to ask you to help me with this on Thursday, but I know that's your study day, so I'm not going to ask. I mean, it doesn't go that way.
Yes.
They're going to ask, hey, we've got this fun lunch outing with all of the fill in the blank, and we want you to come, and we'll be out 3 hours, and you'll love the time together. Well, you know, ministry, the challenge is, obviously, it's about relationships. So we can't have things so concrete that there's no pliability there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, our priorities have to be in place mm-hmm. where we say, this week, here are the blocks of time that I spend one-on-one with individuals in Bible studies. Here are the blocks of time that I spend on sermon preparation. And they have to become a priority, which means, you know, the more you focus on something, the very definition of focus is the more you're taking other things out of that line.
Yes.
And so we have to be comfortable telling people no in a really nice way, a godly way, and realizing, though, we still have to swing around and serve. It's not, we're not using that as an excuse to not love people or serve people. But it, if it's not a priority for us,
yes,
it's not going to happen.
Well, and I found the administrative assistants at the church can be a tremendous help in that. I've always felt that you could replace the preacher more easily than you can replace the administrative assistant.
Right.
But I've always found the ones I've worked with were a huge asset. And so I'd have I don't exist times. I'm going into study, and if it's not my wife or immediate family, an emergency or the elders, mm-hmm. I'm busy right now.
And yes.
So have you always had some folks that could help you with that, or have you kind of done that more?
In Mount Juliet, I had more help with that. At a smaller church, you don't have as much. But what you have to do, and again, all this has to be in balance and in kindness, but there has to be that communication that says, mm-hmm. I would love to do that, mm-hmm. but that's the day or that's the time that I study each week. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they see your sermons on mm-hmm. Sunday and they recognize, if you're going to preach like that, you have to prepare.
Yes.
And they appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any tools on preaching you found helpful or principles of preaching?
I love to preach in short series.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I knew I was going to do 4 weeks on stewardship or 4 weeks on holiness or 4 weeks on family or whatever it might be, I always had different friends that I would reach out to through an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, hey, in a few months, I'm going to be doing a lesson on this lessons on this topic. Have you read anything lately that was really beneficial?
Mm.
And then there would be other friends that I would reach out to. You know your friend's strengths. There'd be other friends I'd reach out to and say, hey, if you were going to study this for 4 weeks, what passages would you come from?
Gotcha.
What passages would you dig deeper into? And, you know, taking time to plan a little bit out. Now, in all of that, I wouldn't go into a lot of detail a few months out, but I would start getting my resources together.
Gotcha.
And start reading through some things. And then, you know, we're all wired differently. I don't like to write my sermons far in advance. I like for it to be more of a fresh study and a fresh delivery. I do better at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to start having things together mm-hmm. so that when I do sit down, I have what I need and my mind's already going in a direction.
Yes. I do find it helpful, always found it helpful to, you know, have a plan over time. So you're kind of thinking about it in small chunks over a period of time. Then
yes.
you dive in deep.
Yes.
Thank you for taking time to hang out with me today.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate all you do.
Love and respect. You're still my favorite preacher.
You're right. Appreciate you, Kurt.
thank you for joining us for another episode of Ministry Matters That Matter. And I hope you realize that the ministry you're doing for God does matter. It's making a difference. Stay strong, keep taking a stand for God, and know that you're making a difference. You have a blessed day.